Anyway, all right, Joe, you're all set
All right,
now?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. One, two, three.
This is episode 124 on July the 9th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
This is the Tiny Shutter. Greetings, everyone.
That threw you for a loop the first time, didn't it? It's okay, you can say it.
Yeah,
greetings, we're not doing everyone. It over. We're keeping it. We're
yes, doing it yes. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and we stumble all over each other. So, I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And joining us today is Maud Byrne. Hey, Maud.
Hello.
What a week. I've been home all week with the family.
How many kids do you have now?
Four 18? Kids.
14 kids.
Yeah.
That's why he's so tired, and that's why he was screwing up his words.
That's right. No, it's funny because, you know, we were all in the living room earlier, and I keep doing a double take. It's like, wait, where did you come from? Oh, that's right.
You know? Oh, that's right. You were born. Whoa. How did I miss that?
It's a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and get started. And how's everybody been? Let's go around and, you know, kind of explain how we've been doing and go
well,
from
Joe,
there.
Well, Joe, I don't know if you've been following the news, but we recently had a holiday.
Oh, wait. Okay. July 2nd was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Wait, which one is it?
Wait for it.
Okay, I give up. What is it?
Was it an Arbor Day or something?
Was it what?
Wasn't it Arbor Day or something?
No, we had Canada Day. That's right.
Canada Day. No, Canada Day. Canada Day. When was Canada Day?
I think July 1st.
Is it July 1st? Chat room, what was Canada Day? You're all from Canada. July 1st. Thank
July
you.
1st.
Yep, yep.
July 1st.
It's on my calendar.
It's on the calendar.
We all celebrated with Canadian bacon, some good old maple syrup, and...
More Canadian bacon.
More Canadian bacon. And what's a Canadian beer?
Molson? I don't know. I have no idea. The Bat Blue. I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, we had 4th of July.
There you go.
Independence Day. That's right. And last week we talked about how we did or what we were going to do. Now we're going to talk about what we did. Let's start with you, Mark.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to throw in that monkey wrench in there. just to kind of test you out. I have been photographing extensively with my iPhone, and in every respect failed miserably last week. It was not a good week for me. We'll go into it a little bit later, but I tried the fireworks photography, and I also had a trip to photograph some waterfalls, and man, it was not good.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Matt?
Well, I did not get to go out and try to photograph fireworks, but I did get out on Monday. I went up into Cuyahoga Valley National Park here in Ohio, with pretty much the intent to photograph waterfalls, and it was basically a miserable failure. I came away with a lot of pictures that once I really looked at them on my computer, I decided that the scene was ugly, the way that I had it framed, I guess. And then there was another waterfall that I'd basically seen pictures of, and I wanted to go find it.
Whoa. We're having an inception moment there.
Cool. That was like myself from the past coming back to revisit Anyway, another waterfall. I ended up not finding it, only to realize once I got home that I was like within a half mile of it.
Oh,
jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a bummer.
Dude, I totally feel your pain. In more ways than one.
Yeah, I hate going through all the effort of trying to do something and then just major failure. Ugh.
Maude, what have you been up to?
I went camping.
Right on.
But I actually did get to go out and do a little hike along the Falling Waters Trail up in New Hampshire and got some shots while doing that.
Did you get to the top of the trail?
We got to, I'm not exactly sure where we got to. We got to Cloudland Falls, which I believe is the top, or basically the top of Falling Waters Trail, but then it continues on and turns into another trail. Do you know?
I do know. And basically, if you didn't get to the top of the mountain, you didn't get to the top of the trail.
Okay, so the trail does go. We were a little trying to figure out what was the top of the trail, and the way they were telling us, we thought the Falling Waters turned into another, like a Lafayette Mountain Trail or something like that, and that the waterfall was the top of the Falling Waters Trail, and the mountain was at beyond. But we got to Cloudland Falls as far as we got.
Cool. Yeah, past that, it gets steeper.
That's what we heard from some people coming back down the other direction, and we were trying to debate how much further to go with, we had four little kids in tow, and three of them were done before we even started.
Yeah.
So when they told us, yeah, from here on out, it gets hard, we decided that would be where we would turn around.
Probably.
Did you post pictures on Instagram by chance?
I did, as a matter of fact. My first Instagram pictures in some time. I did three from that shoot. Cloudland Falls, Stair Falls, and then just another little cascade that I found along the way.
Nice. Yeah, I saw them earlier. I'm like, oh, sweet.
That's what me and Mark were talking about, that I broke the internet when I was actually doing something on the internet.
And photography related.
And photography related, no less. Yeah.
No, I have to say I like them. They look good.
I like the one that's the waterfall ones are. The Cloudland Fall one's kind of generic. The one of the little cascade though is the one I like the best.
Nice.
Is that the last one that you posted?
Yeah, the last one up there.
Yeah, that one came out pretty good. How about you, Joe?
I've been actually,
sorry to interrupt you much.
No, I've actually decided lately I've been getting a little bit of cabin fever. So I kind of jump in the Jeep and go for a ride when I was like, you know what, I'm going to ride downtown and go to the new fountain and take some pictures. So, you know, while I'm out and about, I can actually utilize, taking some pictures, and I drove down to, I think it's called now Fountain Park, and they have some interesting lighting, light poles. So I took a picture of the light pole. I had a church in the background, and I'm actually going to do a video because it was really dark. I used the HDR function, and then I used Snapseed to get the final image. So I have some before and along the way and after shots of my process, which I'm going to do a video on. And hopefully I'll have that up this week on YouTube. So just I've been trying to get creative on what I can do to take pictures besides just the family, you know. Getting out and about and being able to do it. So I find after I put the kids down, it's a good time for me to go out and do some night photography.
Right on. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our feature.
And let me do that audio right now.
Focus point.
All right. Well, we talked about last week doing some fireworks photography because the 4th of July and all that. And our conversations throughout the week over text have been sort of the leading to our subject. And it has to do with when things don't go right, you know, what do we do? So let's go ahead and just open up. And, you know, we mentioned briefly how things went and kind of dissect what happened and see if there's anything that we can come up with to kind of fix it, which we may not be able to do. But I thought it was a good we all thought this would be a good discussion because it, not every trip that you make or any assignment that you do is going to turn out right. And, you know, what do different people do in those types of situations? So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody kind of your whole ordeal? Get this thing rolling.
Jeez, let's see. Where do you even start? Well, I guess, you know, yesterday I expressed my frustration with a few choice words in our our other Facebook group, the Lens Wipe. And, you know, basically what it comes down to is, you know, between work and family, it's hard to make time to go out and do photography as much as I would like to.
Right.
And, you know, obviously I'm still very passionate about it. So I think about photography a lot and I wish that I was taking pictures a lot. So when I finally get time to do it, I want to make the most of it and make sure that I'm going to come home with, you know, some pretty awesome images, you know, stuff that I can't wait to share online and stuff that, you know, maybe I'll want to get it printed and hang it in my house or something, you know? Right. So I, with the 4th of July holiday, I had a 4-day weekend. And the first day of that weekend, which was Friday, I ended up getting called into work. So I ended up working a lot on one of my days off. And Saturday and Sunday were good days, but they were just, you know, spent with my family and we went hiking and did a bunch of different things. And there just really wasn't time for like photography. And Monday I was fortunate enough to, have the day off work. And, you know, my wife was at work and my son was in daycare. So I had the whole day pretty much to myself to do whatever I wanted to do. And I thought, awesome. I was like feeling inspired because Sunday we had spent the day up in Cuyahoga Valley National Park. And, I took my son and my wife to some spots that they'd never been to before, like to some waterfalls. And, you know, my son got to play in the water and we had a great time. And I saw like all these scenes that I was like, cool, I need to come back here another day and get pictures. So on Monday I thought, well, I know I was just up there yesterday, but the heck with it. I'm going to go back up there and do some photography all day. So I had one particular spot that I wanted to return to take pictures. And then another waterfall that I had just recently even found out existed. And I wanted to go find it and get some awesome pictures of it. So, I ended up getting distracted, as I often do. And I spent a lot of time at a place that I had no intention of stopping when I set out that day and did some bird photography and like some close-up pictures of like water lilies and stuff like that. And yeah, I did pictures with both my Sony camera and my iPhone, and some of the pictures I like, and some of them are just kind of like, you know, whatever. Like, I think when I was shooting there, it was like noon and it was sunny, you know, so there's no interesting light and everything's just kind of like whatever. And then it clouded up a little bit and the overcast light was perfect for waterfalls. So I went back to this waterfall I'd been to before, that I had been to the previous day, and took a whole bunch of pictures there and was really spending time just trying all these different compositions and like scrambled down into the creek and was, you know, just doing all kinds of different stuff. And then when I finally got to like what I thought was like one of the more interesting compositions, the sun came back out. Oh. And of course it was at like my 1 o'clock, you know, I'm pointing the camera and the sun is like at 1 o'clock. So it's, you know, it's just not a good angle. Yeah. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to hang out and wait and hopefully it'll cloud up again, you know, and I could get this shot. And I waited and I waited and I waited. And I was like, crap, you know, if I wait too much longer, I'm not going to be able to hit this other spot I want to go to. So I thought, well, I'll just do some HDR. And so I did some bracketed, you know, exposures, and I even tried to do some with the iPhone, and the iPhone could not handle the difference. Like, you know, I tried Vivid HDR and some of the other HDR apps, and it just, it couldn't.
Wait, which app were you using?
Mostly Vivid HDR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just couldn't handle the contrast. It was all the things that were in shadow were like washed out and just really weird looking, almost like it was ghosted. It was just really strange looking. Like all the shadows were gray instead of, you know, dark, like almost black. It just looked really weird. So I took all those shots and then just thought, you know, these bracketed exposures should be fine. I'll make something happen with it. And then I set off to go find my other waterfall, and I thought I knew exactly where it was. And I get to this spot, and there was a waterfall there, but it was not the waterfall I was looking for. So I was like totally confused. And the waterfall I found was an interesting waterfall, but it, something about it just didn't seem very picturesque to me.
I like couldn't. Droids you're looking for.
Not sure how that fit into what I was saying. But
it, no, it was from earlier. I'm sorry. I thought it was fitting. I didn't actually mean to hit it. I was just looking for the sound bite.
So oh, gotcha, gotcha. That's okay. Yeah, it was just a weird waterfall. It was like a more of a cascade, I suppose. It wasn't like a straight down drop. It kind of was maybe like a 30-foot like incline that the water kind of went down, and it was like broken shale. And this creek was like a big creek, but the way the water went down this waterfall, it went down in such a thin sheet over the rocks that you could barely even perceive that there was a actual waterfall there, you know? So I had no good way of like really getting like an interesting photograph of it. So I just ended up not really even taking pictures there. And by the time I was done with that, I kind of had to call it a day and get back home and stuff. And it wasn't until like later that night, I was looking at some maps and realized the waterfall I was looking for was just like a little bit further up the road. I was like so painfully close to it. So I was really kind of bummed about that. But, you know, the real kicker for me was, you know, loading all my pictures onto the computer and looking at them and seeing them, you know, full screen or whatever, and just wondering what in the heck was I looking at through the viewfinder that I thought that this was a good picture.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like every composition was just, there was just something about it that wasn't right. It didn't draw you in, or it was just ugly, like, just way too much like broken rocks and not enough, you know, green, like, you know, trees and flowers and stuff. It was just really ugly scenes. And I think what it was is I'm looking through the lens and I'm just seeing, you know, whatever I could see through the viewfinder, which is a really confined, you know, field of view. But when I would, you know, stand up and survey the scene and look at the whole broad area that I'm in, it looked really awesome. And I just couldn't translate that into a picture for whatever reason.
Is it okay? I know that our eye can handle a larger what's the word I'm looking for?
Spectrum.
Larger dynamic range.
Yeah, larger dynamic range. And probably what you saw with your own eye looked good, but when the camera
we're also seeing things at 50 millimeters while the camera is looking at it at, I think, 18 or 22 millimeters.
Right. So, I mean, we can see something and go, oh, that is awesome. Go to take the picture and you're like, eh, it doesn't look good at all. You know, so I don't think you misinterpreted the area. I think the camera did.
No, I would disagree with you tremendously, okay. Actually. I mean,
I was trying to help you, you know.
No, and I appreciate that, but I have an iPhone 5 and I have a Sony NEX7, and they're both, in my opinion, tremendously good cameras.
Yeah.
And they do what I want them to do. And, you know, and it's, you know, they're both digital, so I see the results right away. So if I have an issue with an exposure or whatever, I know it and I can just fix it. And the nice thing with the Sony too is that, you know, I could see the result before I even hit the shutter button. You know, when I make adjustments, I see those adjustments in real time. So I got what I was going for at the time. The problem is that what I was going for, well, how do I phrase this? I just didn't get what I was going for. Like, I thought that I was seeing what I wanted to see, and when I looked at it again later, it just wasn't what I wanted. You know?
I've had very similar experiences. It happens for me a lot when I'm out in just kind of walking through the woods. And you just look around and the scene as a whole, you look and say, it's just a beautiful area of woods. There's got to be some pictures here. And you try to get some shots out of it. But when you go back and look at it later, nothing just captured, it just didn't capture the moment, didn't capture the scene the way you were hoping. And you're left with a little bit of it does not live up to the experience you had while being there. So nothing is too good.
Yeah. So it just, and now I got all these pictures that I'll probably never share. And that just really kind of bums me out because, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities to, you know, to take at least semi good pictures that I could, you know, share with the Facebook groups and put on Flickr and, you know, show to my family and friends and stuff like that. And, you know, I spent this whole day and I came home with nothing. And that's just really the thing that bummed me out.
Hmm. Yeah. What about you, Mark?
Well, I feel your pain, dude, because there's going to be some similarities. First of all, I failed on another level. I was originally going out with a friend of the show, Mike Siska, and we took his car instead of my car, and I realized that a lot of my redundant gear was in my car, and I just didn't bother taking it out because I never take it out. It's always there. So my tripod, my shutter releases for my Canon, all that stuff, not with me. And so all I had to shoot with was my Fuji and my iPhone, and I was borrowing Mikey's spare tripod. So already off to a good start right there.
Yeah.
And
at least he had a spare tripod.
Yes, it would have been very difficult without it.
It only had two legs though.
You know what, it would have dealt with it. It was three legs but very wobbly. And at one point, I just gave up with the Fuji. I just couldn't deal with it. Problem number two would was that there was no cloud cover whatsoever. Normally, this isn't a big problem with the iPhone because if I'm doing the slow shutter app, you know, as long as I have even lighting, I can make that waterfall effect no problem. Problem is that there was no even lighting. And when it was even lighting, it was just atrocious lighting. So one of the photos that I posted was Tuckerbrook Falls. And my problem with that one was that the sunlight was so intense that it was still getting somewhat blocked by the tree canopy. Yeah. But all the light coming in was very green. And it looks like I was just sitting somewhere within the Matrix. And so whenever I did the slow shutter, it like nothing I could do made the image look good. I was trying to adjust the color saturation, the tint or hue, whatever it's called. Could never get it right. And I ended up trying to desaturate the photo to get somewhat respectable photo, but I just wasn't happy with it. So location number one was just crap. Then we go to location number two, which was Garwin Falls. Now, last year we had a lot of success with that place. It was really nice. We came late in the day, and it was also late in the fall, so we didn't have the good lighting that we wanted. We got there much earlier, but sadly it was still horrible lighting. It was very direct sunlight on the waterfalls. It was like a cascade there, and it was very uneven lighting too. So in one section you have extreme brutal light and the other is just basking in shadow, and like just couldn't get anything going.
And the problem with relying on or hoping for even lighting from tree canopy coverage, because it's never complete. It's always patchy.
And the photos that I was able to get, there's one photo that is it's the water basically gushing from left side of the photo to the right side. And Matt, you had made a comment about this, asking what was going on with it, because you didn't know it was photographed with the iPhone.
Well, I kind of figured it was, but yeah. That was just like a pile of cotton candy. It wasn't even water at that point.
Yeah, it was just immense. It probably would have looked the same with the Fuji if I had used it. To get that shot, I needed to use the moment lens, the 60 millimeter moment lens attachment. And here's where the moment lens falls apart for me. There is distortion all around the photo. Center focus is great, but when it comes to the vignetting effect, it vignettes in such a way that there's what's the word? I think it's chromatic aberrations appearing. And you notice that very much in the trees against the white water. And you just see the focus just leaving the photo. And it was just so disappointing, because what was supposed to be a salvageable photo turned out to be just kind of meh. Mediocre at best. I don't know. I didn't like it. And then the only photos that I did enjoy were the ones at the dam, which I thought was just a rundown, abandoned dam. I didn't think it was functional anymore, but it turns out it's quite functional and it's quite flooded in that area now. Much different than we saw it in the fall. And it was beautiful. And the lighting was very even along that that cascade, and I think those are the only good photos that I was able to take away from there. And then we went to our third location, which was a place called Lower Purgatory Falls, and that place was just we didn't even bother trying at that point. It was just so horrible, and like shadows and overexposed areas everywhere in that location. It's like, you know what? Let's call it a day. Yeah. And
here, you know what? You're making me think of something. So one of my problems when I go out is that a lot of times I have like a preconceived idea of an image that I want to come home with.
Yeah.
And I can't see like past that. If I can't get that shot, then I'm just not going to get any shot. And it sounds like you have the same issue. Like, it sounds like you were dead set on shooting waterfalls, but I know that you know that a sunny day is a terrible day for shooting waterfalls.
It is, but there you can kind of – oh, sorry. I got to adjust my microphone here, and I dropped everything.
Drop mic. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, not the mic. I just dropped everything else. Yay me. I thought there was going to be more cloud cover. Or let me rephrase that. I thought there was going to be some sort of cloud cover. At least that's what the reports were saying. So I was hoping for that. I didn't necessarily know what the waterfalls were going to look like because one of them we hadn't even visited before. And the other two were just, you know, constantly changing. But I would say I'm guilty of just, you know, a little bit of expectation. But I thought I could get around that. First of all, I thought I would get around that with my Canon because I had the 9-stop neutral density filter, and that worked on so many other waterfalls that I photographed this year so far, where it was just, you know, middle of the afternoon. I was still able to walk away with great images.
9-stop, that's a lot.
See, this kind of also makes me think that maybe we're just like a tad lazy. Like, if either one of us really wanted to come home, especially on a day like the days that we just described, if we wanted to come home with, you know, a killer image, we could have done a little bit of homework and pre-planning and maybe use like a app like Photographer's Ephemeris or Photo Pills or something like that to figure out where's the sun going to be at the time that I think I'm going to be there and what is going to be the best time to be there to get the shot that I want to get.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and me, we just wing it. We just show up and it better be perfect when we get there.
Well, let's put it this way. I'll one up that one and saying, yeah, we could have used that, but why disappoint ourselves? Because we don't, in order to wait for the perfect lighting, it might have happened, but we might have not been able to go during that time because we have families, we have things that need to be done. And this was the only time we were able to go. So we had to make lemonade out of lemons. And
well, I suppose I could counter that by saying that, you know, you could have saved yourself, you know, wasting time on getting mediocre shots by figuring out that they're going to be mediocre shots and planning to shoot something else instead.
Well, I'll counter that saying you should have listened to your own advice.
Well, I didn't think of it till right now.
And then on top of that, that evening with the fireworks photography, I had essentially the same thing. Here is my dilemma. I could either sit there and putz around with the app or sit there and enjoy fireworks.
Exactly.
With my family. And it was both my kids, it was their first time seeing fireworks. And like for the first three launches, I was trying to get the exposure. And my exposure would not lock at all. It was just constantly searching. And when I finally got the right lighting effect that I wanted, all I had to do was just figure out some way to just lock that exposure. But I'm like, you know what? Nah, I'm just going to put this away. I'm going to just enjoy the show. Yeah. And that's all I did. I gave up. I was so fed up from that day. Earlier that day that I'm like, screw it. And I did. I screwed it. I screwed it bad.
Yeah. Speaking of fireworks.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Speaking of fireworks, I did end up going to and finding some fireworks, and it was crazy. The place that I chose happened to be on the border with North and South Carolina. And
were they fireworks or were they at
work? Yeah. It was fireworks. And the lake, right where the border is, there's a lake and a bridge going across from one side to the other. And on both sides of the bridge, it was just full of boats. And I'm thinking, oh, perfect. Except all lined up along the bridge was people who were not on the boats. And so I ended up, you know, parking about a quarter of a mile away and hiking over to it. And so I started taking some shots, some videos. And you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start enjoying watching it, because I noticed that a lot of people, a lot, were videoing the fireworks. And I could count probably two or three that were, you know, actually videoing in landscape mode. But, you know, everybody along the bridge had their phones out and were videoing it or trying to take pictures, because I saw flashes, which makes a whole lot of sense. And, you know, I'm thinking, how many of these people are not actually, you know, enjoying the full scope of the show? They're watching it on their screen.
Well, that's a whole Louis C.K. skit right there.
Yeah. But I got some shots. They're not the best shots. They're not terrible shots.
I got some videos.
I got some, you know, video of it and all that. But I, you know, decided to, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy it. And then I left a little early because I knew it was going to be total crazy traffic. And by the time I was driving back across the bridge to get back into South Carolina, was when the finale hit, and then it was done. So I did get to see it. Not I didn't video or take pictures of the finale, but there, you're right. There is a point where you come to and you say, you know what, I just need to enjoy the moment. And another situation which I saw, I was watching a music video, and there were people at this concert videoing the concert while they had professionals all around getting great shots. But you see these people holding up their phones, and it's distracting. It looks awful. And are they going to be able to do anything with it when they can actually probably even see themselves in the video itself?
Well, really, all you need is a sound, and they probably don't know they have a sound recorder on it.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's distracting, and it, I think it takes away from the whole experience.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do think that you're right, Matt. You know, putting time and preparation. I didn't put any time or preparation into it. Actually, I was like driving there hoping that I didn't miss it. And, you know, there was, I know now where I would like to set up and try to get some good shots, but am I really going to enjoy those photographs later on because I totally missed them?
I would like for the record to show that I didn't learn a damn thing.
Well, to bum me out even more, there's a fireworks show for some reason up in Akron, Ohio, which is about a half hour north of me. Mm-hmm. And it's this coming Saturday. So I was like, okay, cool. There's another fireworks show. At least I could try to get out and make it to that one. And I looked up like where the fireworks are going to be set off from. It's almost like right in the city. And I know a spot that I found late last year. It's right off the side of a highway up on a hill, and it pretty much overlooks the skyline. And I'm like, that would be the most amazing place to set up and shoot from, because I'll basically get the fireworks bursting right over the city. That's going to be right. killer. And it turns out I'm not going to be around.
Oh.
So I'm not going to make it.
Bummer.
Oh. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, there's sometimes the best laid plans meet up against weather, maybe against, you know, what we see in our heads or whatever. We're never going, you know, we're never going to have a perfect outing. You know, a lot of people, you know, we see a lot of good photography. And when you see those perfect photos, you don't realize or you don't think of all the crappy ones that it took to get to that good photo. Because a photographer, if he's smart, doesn't show his crap. You know, he shows what is good. And so a lot of times we compare ourselves, we compare our bad photos with the best photos that a photographer puts out there. And you're comparing apples, you know, rotten apples to apples, when the other guy has tons of rotten apples sitting in his cart somewhere else. So, you know, I think we put a lot on ourselves and try to compare with others who are doing great work and not take into mind that they also have a large load of crappy photos somewhere on a server or maybe in a delete box. So something to think about.
Well, I don't know what you guys had so much problems with. I went out and every shot I took was awesome. I mean, I uploaded my three crappiest ones, actually.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt you guys' feelings or anything.
Thanks, Maude. We appreciate that.
Actually, though, but when my experience with the fireworks was because we were out camping, we had decided to go in and where were we? I always get the two confused. Jackson, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And we were going to go watch the fireworks display there. And when it came time to leave, the question was posed, shall we go do the fireworks or put another log on the fire? I threw another log on the fire. We sat there and listened to the fireworks around the campfire.
There you go.
It was the best firework display I've enjoyed in some time.
Cool.
Where were you camping, Mo?
Go ahead.
At the Lost River.
So you got around that weekend. It's not like Jackson is super close to there.
All right. Maybe I did have the wrong one then. I always want to say Littleton, but it's not in Littleton. What's
Lincoln.
Lincoln, thank you. See, I was trying to be not an idiot and say the right one, and then I overthought it and came up with the completely wrong one. We were in Lincoln, New Hampshire.
Yeah, just a little bit difference there.
Yeah, about, you know, 30-some miles difference.
Yeah. What's 30 miles in the White Mountains?
30 miles.
Same as 30 miles anywhere else, right?
Well, it depends on if it's off a cliff on some rugged road that you can't make a pass through with a regular car.
Oh, you gotta go and get literal there, Joe.
Any other thoughts on messing up a good photography outing?
Yeah, hopefully everybody learns from this. Prepare.
Yeah. Definitely.
I like one thought that comes to my mind is I've done a little bit of what Matt and Mark did, where you kind of go out with it. Actually, I never really prepare, and I'll own up to it. I always tend to just kind of go out. Hey, let's go for a walk here or there in the woods and see what we see. But if you get out there, there's definitely times where you kind of have a certain mindset, or I know I've experienced that, or mindset of I want to go to get this kind of shot, and if it's not working. It's not always easy to do, but just kind of like, especially, I know, Mark, you tend to be very set on waterfalls.
Just a little.
Take a moment, look around, and what else can I do? Let me, for the next 10 minutes, let me completely ignore waterfalls Let me do some macro work of this mushroom over here, or something.
Sacrilege.
Completely change your train of thought.
And funny you mentioned that. I actually did a macro shot of a mushroom.
It looked really good.
That was a good one. That was a great shot too. I like that macro shot of the mushroom. That was an awesome shot.
So I did just what you were suggesting, and a lot of those came out like crap too.
All right, fine.
Except for the mushroom. Suck. No, you see, all right, this is something that you're really good at, Maud. I can't seem to nail it. Like, you're good at photographing the bark on trees, like doing some macro studies here and there with that. And there was this cool tree stump that looked cool, but I could not photograph it for the life of me. Like, I'm looking at this thing. It looks cool. It looks like something that would look great in a photo, but I can't connect the dots. It just wasn't happening. No matter what angle I shot this thing at, no matter what I had in the background, I even tried depth of field on the damn iPhone and just was not working.
And yeah, we got a fire. That when you're there and you just try it from every angle and you just can't get it the way you want to get it.
It just wasn't happening.
And you know, sometimes though, I think sometimes maybe it's just me in my head, but I think sometimes you go out there and you look at the scene and you have a kind of a vision in your mind, like, I want this photo, I want it to look like this, and try as you might, you can't get the shot to look like that. So you kind of set those photos aside, you forget about them, you come back to them, you know, months down the road, at a point where you can no longer remember very well what that this was that you were trying to capture, and you look at the photos again with fresh eyes without the memory of what you were actually experiencing there, or dulled memory of what you were actually experiencing there, and the photos don't look as bad as you remember, and you look through them, well, you know, maybe I can do something with a couple of these.
Oh no, I nuked them from orbit. It's still
Well, there's that approach too, you know.
What say you, gentlemen? Let's wrap things up.
Sure. Let's go ahead and jump into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. Mark, is it your turn?
It sure is.
All right. Go for it, man.
All right. This is a shot by our very own I Love to Dig 0044. He is Adam Slater on Instagram. That's the thing that we use. And it is a photo of Douglas Harbor. It is this kind of it's not quite black and white. It's kind of like a lightly desaturated photo. But it's a lot of drama in the photo. It's you have the harbor and you have this little island and what appears to be this little castle on the island, and it's just a very moody photo. It's a very dramatic scene, and I quite like it, and it's matching my mood today.
You know what I expect to see when looking at that photo that it seems missing?
The Highlander?
No, the Loch Ness Monster.
That's where I was going with. Loch Ness Monster down the bottom center, slightly to the right a little bit. If he was there, that would, I mean, you just look at the photo and you're kind of waiting for him to come up to the surface. Like, where is he? Where is he? Highlander, I'll give that a second place.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, anyway, sure. That's my pick for this week. It's I totally, not, no pun intended on the username, but I dig it.
Yeah, I like it. That was the first thing that popped into my head was the Loch Ness Monster. Oh, yeah. When I saw it. And
it's got that, you know, vibe going for sure.
Yeah, the mood. And so, yeah, very cool. Any thoughts, Matt?
Other than I like it, no.
Okay. Well, cool. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, hashtag your Instagram images with the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and you will join a ton of other images that we go through each week and choose to use for our album art and be able to showcase our listeners. So sorry, James.
next week.
That's right. Keep it up.
I was in such a funk that photo just literally matches my mood. that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Well, why don't we wrap things up and go around and tell everybody where they can find you? Let's start with you, Maude.
You really ought to start skipping me on this.
I've done something
this week. That's right. You can find new pictures at Instagram, Maude Byrne.
Awesome. Matthew.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Great. All right, Mark.
I am that Polish photographer on Instagram.
Very cool. And I'm Joseph Ferreira on Instagram. You can find me there. And go to tinyshutter.com. You will find the Facebook page, the link to be able to listen to our show live and participate in the chat room. And any other things, I think, is our YouTube channel on our website?
I don't know, but I mean, if you go to YouTube.com.
I think we're going to have it on there.
YouTube.com/tinyshutter. It's easy to find.
Yeah. And we'll, you know, I'm planning on putting a video up soon. And, you know, I think we'll have more of that also. But if you have any questions about anything, go to tinyshutter.com and find us there. All right. Well, Mark, why don't you lead us out of here?
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
We will see everybody next week.
Nailed it.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week. Ha ha ha.